And good morning, George.
Good day.
And how are you this fine morning?
Well, can't believe we're wrapping up another month, but July is almost in the books. You know, August will be here before you know it.
Seems like I'm getting older faster than I used to.
Well, ain't that the truth?
Boy, howdy. We got a special guest today.
We do.
Yeah, we did better than we normally are.
Yes, yes. We have to give ourselves an A+.
A++.
Yes.
We have the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Oklahoma.
Governor, thanks for coming in. Todd Lamb, how are you?
George, I'm doing great. Thanks for
having
me on the program
sure.
again. With that lead in, John, George, I was wondering who your guest was going to be. A+, high marks. I know it's just summer, summer school, but I was pretty excited about an A+ grade.
And it's not even election year.
That's maybe why I got the A+.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. It's great to be with you again. Yeah. Great to be back in Chickasha. Real quickly, I know we're going to get into some substance, but Chickasha, Grady County is special to me. I got a lot of relatives over in Amber, and my dad used to go swimming in the creek over in Amber, and my dad's first job out of law school was at the county attorney's office back in the day, all right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, we don't
not
have
district
that anymore.
Just
right.
County.
Back in the day, county attorney, Grady yep. County.
That's exactly right.
And matter of fact, my wife ran into somebody that knew him back in the day, and was reminiscing about that, I think, at a basketball practice for our daughter just this week. So great to be back in Chickasha and Grady County.
Getting ready to be 100 years old, the Grady County Tournament, very soon.
Is that right?
If not next year, the year after that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
That's very prestigious.
That's something. Well, we won't hold that against you because your dad was DA here. We'll move on to something more
No,
positive.
Now, wait a minute. I don't think he was not the head cheese. I think he was just one of the fellas in the office. First job out of law school. Somebody's going to call in and say, hey, what's Lamb taking credit for? No. He was a working grunt.
Yeah.
He had to get there first and lock up when it was everybody else left, one of those deals.
All I'm trying to do is insult your dad.
Oh.
So pass that to him, if you would, please. I'd appreciate it very much. So, but he was a fun guy to be around, I'll say that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, tell me something. Lieutenant Governor, and the governor gets to get all the publicity and such, and what do you do?
Well, we do a lot of things, and I say we because it's a team effort. Whether it's officially with my office, working with the legislature, and or the citizens around the state of Oklahoma. There are constitutional requirements of the lieutenant governor, whomever that is. You chair tourism. You're on the Board of Equalization. That board certifies the monies the legislature can appropriate. I'm also a commissioner for the School Land Commission.
Yes.
Or the commissioners of the land office. Those are synonymous terms. That's a billion-dollar state entity. I have a proxy on the neutralization of the Comp Source Board. So a lot of constitutional or statutory assignments of the lieutenant governor. I mentioned sharing tourism. That's the third highest grossing revenue stream in our state. Now, something that I've done as lieutenant governor, I've made it a commitment to go to all 77 counties every year. And to highlight that, or really maybe extrapolate and explain that, rather, if I drive through Grady County, and I stop and I get a dip cone at the Dairy Queen in Chickasha, I don't count that. A couple years ago, if I got an enchilada at Eduardo's and I didn't talk to anybody in Chickasha, I don't count that as a visit. There's substantive visits, town hall meetings, talking to educators, talking to small business owners, asking local citizens and leadership what's going on in Grady County, what's going on in Stevens County. So that's a big crux of my office, because I do it every year. And then for the longest time, I've been putting out a policy and issues report on the challenges Oklahomans are facing all across the state, some very specific
right.
To an area, and mm-hmm. then some, it's just kind of an echo chamber, if you will.
Right.
If there's a challenge in Oklahoma City, there's a challenge in Chickasha. If there's a challenge in Chickasha, there's a challenge in Altus. So, and I take that back to the legislature, and I work on issues that matter to Oklahoma.
Now, you chair not the representative, you chair the Senate?
I'm the Lieutenant Governor of Oklahoma is constitutionally the President of the Oklahoma State Senate.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Right.
And I wanted to be sure that I wasn't totally mixed up.
No, you're right.
Okay. And that means you sit in their meetings.
Well,
sometimes.
Constitutionally, that's a role, but
practically.
I think, practically, pragmatically, I serve the people of Oklahoma better by not doing that on a regular basis.
Sure.
They're adults. They're adults. There are 48 adults in the room.
Yeah.
And the fact that the party of which I'm a member, I'm a Republican, my party's in control
right.
of the Oklahoma State Senate. So for me to go in the Oklahoma State Senate chambers, a body in which I was a member for 6 years, and to hold the gavel and watch adults discuss, talk, argue, debate, table, vote, reconsider. That's not a good service, I think, to the people of Oklahoma, meaning in the role as lieutenant governor. So that's why I go out and about, and I work on other things with it. Economic development, working on issues with towns and cities, school security. I led a big statewide school security initiative about 3 years ago. So a lot of the other roles that I perform and duties I perform throughout the state, even during session.
Okay. That's appreciate that explanation, because I did assume that you actually stayed there and gaveled the session, so to speak.
I've done some procedural stuff inside the state senate, but again, it just doesn't serve me well. That's why the president pro tem, you know, it's Latin pro tem, it's for temporary. Right. I didn't have any Latin classes, but somebody told me what that means, and I believe them. I just can do other things that I think benefit Oklahoma much greater than just being a parliamentarian.
Yeah, right. You know, just out of curiosity, every community in Oklahoma, I almost said Chickasha, that's not going to work, is it? But, you know, we're always striving to get industry and jobs and those kind of things. I would assume from what you just said that you do get involved in those for some communities when they ask, I'm sure. But
certainly. Yeah. And it's a little bit of an invite basis, just right. Like you said, John. There are a lot of entities that are involved in economic development in the state of Oklahoma. And that's kind of good news, and also presents a challenge when you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen that cheeseburger can get burned on the grill sometimes because right. So many cooks are in there. But that being said, I've worked with a lot of communities, a lot of counties on an invite basis, calling my office because I have this relationship going out to all 77 right. counties every year. Hey, Todd, we want XYZ Corp in our community just got purchased by ABC Company. We're worried about keeping the jobs here. Will right. you go with us to the corporate headquarters? Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
That's a pretty real example. We did that for a community in Southeast Oklahoma, and there was a $1.5 million expansion after we visited the corporate headquarters in Michigan. So that's an example of something I do, and I really enjoy it, John. I love the economic development aspect of this job. And I think I've probably done a little bit, hopefully a little bit more. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but newspapers have said that when we were up for re-election in 2014, that Lamb's been a very active lieutenant governor and have been very engaged. And I think the quote was, he has not chosen to sit on the sidelines.
Good, good. Now, and I'd be disappointed.
Well, I think a lot of people would be.
And I'd tell your dad, too.
Well, yeah, I don't want to get, you know, I'm in my mid-40s, but I don't want to get grounded.
Be pretty boring, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Your wife could do that if she needs to, that much more effectively, I'm sure.
After 21 years of marriage, absolutely she could.
I understand those rules. You know, it's Oklahoma I feel good about in a lot of respects. You know, when we hear teachers and their salaries and such, I've always been kind of curious if State XYZ is paying more, what is their cost of living expenses mm-hmm. compared to ours? Are our expenses less in Oklahoma than, say, Texas in particular, which is, it seems to be a big drawing card for our teachers?
It is. You've listed some of the apples and oranges when it comes to teacher pay specifically. Right. I've been a proponent of paying our teachers more. We right. mentioned my wife a moment ago. I have an unpaid education advisor I've lived with now for 2 decades. My wife taught North Tulsa Public Schools
right.
and Oklahoma City Public Schools, and she's also done some private school education, but she's been really all over the state in a lot of education capacities. So I really listen to her with her ear on the ground. But something else we don't talk about with Oklahoma, Texas and teacher pay.
Right.
There was a move this legislative session to boost teachers' pay and then curb and cut and eliminate some of the benefits
right,
Oklahoma teachers,
right.
Oklahoma mm-hmm. educators receive.
Still part of the cost. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there was an outcry, maybe justifiably so, but there's an outcry from the education establishment not to do that. Well, that's very similar to what Texas does. So Texas, you might bring more home in your check, but the benefits, my point is what I'm trying to make, and I'm probably not doing a very good job of it, John.
Yeah, you are.
It's not apples to apples.
Okay.
And that's not a defensive position, because
right.
I will pass a polygraph exam saying, I wish our teachers earned more. I believe they should earn more. I'm not a big fan of the born tax increase,
yeah.
But I think we, our teachers should get paid more than they're getting paid.
But by and large, what we're saying is, if we pay for the retirement and their hospitalization, that's really part of the cost of education. Where in Texas, they may not pay for
right.
those things. I don't know for sure, but I've heard that they don't, and they do it on their own. So what I'm trying to say is, I don't want us to be underpaid.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
I want us to be competitive and get the best we can get.
Right. No, I echo that. I say amen.
Yeah. So I was kind of curious about that because I know that seems like an annual conversation.
It is, and we really just need to move past it. Instead of piecemealing and throwing a little bit of dimes, nickels, and quarters toward our classroom teacher. And that's the key for me also. Classroom teachers, those men and women that are inside the classroom at the chalkboard, I've dated myself, at the whiteboard, at the smart board.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is nowadays. Yeah. They're not banging erasers anymore.
Yeah.
But the men and women inside the classroom, that's where our money needs to go, in the classroom for that teacher, for that student, and not some robust administration.
Okay. Why could I argue with that? That's pretty profound. I'm proud of you. You did well there.
I was going to ask Todd that this week the governor suggested maybe having a special session about providing some pay increases for teachers.
Right.
I know it was early this week, so I don't know if there's been any status update on that or not.
Well, here's what I do know about that, George. After the governor made the call on the special session, and let me just explain something. The governor and I are the same political party, but we're autonomous. I say that to say that we don't share a post-it note, we don't share an ink pen, we don't share one staffer, we don't share an office. So there's a relationship there, a professional relationship. But my point is, she didn't call me and say, hey, Todd, I'm thinking about calling a special session. You're Lieutenant Governor. You've been in the state Senate. What are your thoughts? So we didn't have a conversation prior. After she made the call for a special session or a consideration for a call of a special session, some legislative leaders called me, asked me what my thoughts were. Well, my knee jerk was, well, if we didn't get it fixed, teacher pay, meaning in a four-month legislative session, if there's a special session that's called, all those ducks better be lined up and all those I's better be dotted and those T's better be crossed, because there's no point in having the expense of a special session and not getting the issue addressed. So it remains to be determined when and if that special session will be called. And my understanding is there's about $140 million that is kind of hanging around, if you will, in the state ashtray. It's not in the rainy day fund. The 7% across the board when we had a little revenue failure back in the late winter, early spring. There's a little more of a cut than needed to be. That's why there's $140 million there. But there'll be more money than that, is my understanding, if a special session's called to look at a teacher pay raise. That's a long answer to your question. But that's what I know right now about the special session, George.
Did you understand, George?
I did.
Okay, good. We picked that up. So there's a chance. Is that kind of what we're saying?
So you're saying I've got a chance. There was a move. I don't often quote Dumb and Dumber in my interviews, but I think that was off Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying I've got a chance.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be great to get it addressed
through
the legislature. That's what we elect these men and women to do, to go to the state capitol and to tackle these hard issues. And there's a lot going on this session with the $1.3 billion budget hole. But I was disappointed that we didn't get the education issue addressed.
I understand. You know, it's so frustrating at times. We ask for things, and then as the public, I'm taking the public side here, do this, do that. But then we don't want to raise the income side with additional taxes, sales tax, or whatever it chooses to be. And then we're upset because they raise the taxes to do what we wanted them to do. Does that make sense?
I've heard a little bit of that in my time at the Capitol.
I'm
and
sure
that's what's
have.
Interesting also, John, again, going back to my travels.
Yeah.
You know, this summer, not this calendar, this summer, I've been in Salisaw, I've been in Poto, I've been in McAllister, I've been, I think, Ardmore, Ponca City, Pawhuska. I mean, some of those issues, I'll be in one community.
Right.
We sure like this tax incentive. And then 2 weeks later, I'm another community. We sure dislike
the tax,
the same tax incentive.
Yeah.
Or I said tax incentive. It could be state policy. Could be a state agency.
Be anything.
But that's, I learned so much traveling around. And I take notes. And I just don't have the rearview mirror and think, okay, I'll forget everything I just heard. I try to take pretty copious notes.
So that you can look back and say, Joe Smith told me this and go to vote.
And check and call. We had an issue in Osage County a couple years ago at a town hall meeting. So I don't wait till I'm back in Osage County. I stick my staff on it. I talk to a cabinet secretary. I call my friends back in Pawhuska or elsewhere in Osage County, ask if the issue's been resolved. It has, great. It hasn't, okay, what else do we need to do? Okay. Accountability.
Yeah. And, you know, and fortunately, legislators are immune to accountability for a while.
Well, at least state house 2 years, state senate 4 years.
That's right. So they've got.
And then they're accountable.
So you hope that you make your mistakes early in your time, so that you don't get fired later by the public.
Well, that's just life, right? Make mistakes at an early age, so you can be wise and old.
That's right. That's precisely right. I seem to do that from time to time too. Problem is, when you get older, you can't remember what mistake was. What did you do wrong? You know, in comparison to other states. Financially, how are we? In good shape, bad shape? I don't know, Texas or the neighboring states, kind of where they are.
John, Oklahoma could be better.
Right.
Oklahoma could be doing better than we are doing. And I've compared our state to Texas on a number of occasions. I've done it at the Chamber of Commerce in Chickasha when I keynoted there a couple of years ago. And I've been back, of course, every year, as I said already, but in that comparison I make to Texas, yes, I know they have more acres than we have. It's a bigger state.
Yes.
I know they have more folks than we have. I mean, I get all that.
They're big, yeah.
But south of the Red River, there are more Fortune 500 companies there than any state in the nation.
That's right.
And then as I go further there on that point, I say this. Those Fortune 500 companies did not relocate south of the Red River because of humidity. You know how I know that? Because we have humidity.
That's right.
They didn't locate down there because of tornadic activity. You know how I know that? Because we have that.
That's right.
Furthermore, I know they didn't locate south of the Red River because they like that accent. You know how I know that? Because ours is better. plus, our wives are prettier, our kids are smarter.
Yeah.
There are reasons to be up here. But here's my point. Texas got very aggressive with public policy years ago, and they made their state and many of their communities attractive for investment and relocation and expansion of corporate investment. Oklahoma's catching up with workers' comp reform, lawsuit reform, regulatory environment. We're catching up. So hopefully our economy will be more and more diversified in the future. That's something I'm working on right now in another entity. But Oklahoma could be doing better than we're doing. And I kind of have an old football coach mentality.
Right.
After a game, even after you win a football game, right? If a football coach wins a football game by 3 touchdowns, Friday night or Saturday, high school or college, you know what the football coach never utters these words. He never says, "Hey boys, I watched the film. You guys are good enough. Let's call practice off."
Yeah.
No, you find every little problem, every missed tackle, missed block, drop pass, busted assignment.
Right.
You say, "Boys, we won by 3 touchdowns, but we can be better. We always must do that in Oklahoma. We can be better."
You know. And to, I think, verify your point, when we passed the EDC tax here, and we raised one cent, George, what is it we have? I can't remember now. But Texas was twice as high. Oh. You know, and one thing I learned, though, when I've said this on the radio before, when I got out of the Air Force, I applied for a job with the Texas Highway Department to be an appraiser. And a nice interview, went well, talked to several of them, and you know, and when the guy interviewed me, he said, "You know, said I interstates have service roads?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Other states don't." I said, "Well, why not? Why do you have them?" He said, "We're Texas." It's a bit of an attitude.
It is. Attitude.
Yeah.
Attitude that stems from a swagger.
Yes, yes. It does. And that's impressive to industry, and you say, "We can do that."
Right.
And they prove they can.
They have. And we are separated by a Red River that is a very artificial barrier to growth.
Right.
You know, when you fly over that Red River flying from Oklahoma City to Dallas,
right.
You look down and you think, I could probably walk across that without getting my feet muddy.
That's true.
I mean, some parts you can barely see the river.
That's right.
But
that's right.
It's economic development, climate, and being aggressive and pro-growth.
Yeah. One thing they do that I can understand this process, they don't have income tax, state income tax.
Yeah.
If I were the executive making a huge salary, and I've got a choice between Texas and some other state, the other state having income tax. If I'm going to get a big salary, where would I rather go? To the state that's not going to take away my money?
It's going to take a little less of it.
It's going to take a little less of it. So I make the decision to go there.
And they're going to get you on the property.
Yeah.
But some of those executives,
yeah.
They might keep their home elsewhere.
That's right.
And then rent. release.
Right.
But yeah, that's all part of the challenge we have in being competitive with other states. And that's one of the great things about the federalism and being competitive. We have the opportunity and the freedom and the liberty to compete with other states.
Right.
We have a very mobile society, and these companies move around, and individuals move around.
A lot of that's just plain attitude.
It is.
And we can do it. Yeah, I always worry that when you got an industrial prospect in town, you pull up someplace, and the guy says, well, I like living here. And the guy says, I don't like it at all. They ask those kind of questions.
Oh, sure they do. And the swagger that state has that you referred to and I kind of echoed, but Oklahoma, I would put our history, our heritage up against any state.
I would
now,
too.
Those 13 original colonies, I mean, they were pretty tough.
Cool.
They did some pretty good stuff. But here's the point. Okay, our state, here's what we did. Native Americans and others, indigenous Native Americans were here before anybody.
Right.
Take care of the land and take care of each other.
Right.
That's the Oklahoma standard.
Right.
Way before statehood. Right. Second unique way in which we were settled, forced relocation.
Right.
Tragic Trail of Tears, forced relocation. But what did those tribes do? Took care of the land, took care of each other. Some of those tribes leased grasslands to Texas cattle barons.
Right.
If we're not for some of those early tribes, Texas would have starved to death on the vine years ago. And John, George, parenthetically, we're still waiting on a thank you note from Texas on that. But the third unique way, the West and those first two settlings, and the third unique way, seven different times, men and women gathered on a line, different races, creeds, and nationalities. A gun or a cannon was fired at the end of the line. These men and women rushed forward, staked a claim in a brand new land.
Right.
New hopes, new dreams, new aspirations. Men and women, young and old, different races, creeds, and nationalities.
Right.
That's our history. That's our heritage. So, hey, neighbor to the south that we'll call Baja, Oklahoma. You got some swagger, but we should have probably a little bit more because of what we've done for you and what we've done in our state and before statehood.
Yes, very true.
Sorry, I got on a soapbox here, but I love talking about Oklahoma and our history and our heritage and just really just how good our people are. That's our greatest asset.
Oh, no question. I know that from the people that work with us, and they're hard workers. They're intelligent. They do things the right way. What else can you ask for?
Right.
It's just super. Well, you know, back to the state and such and the turnpikes. I'm really pleased that I drive up and down 44 a bunch of times, seems like every week, two or three times. They keep it nice. The roads are always repaired when something happens quickly.
Right.
Any more room for more turnpikes?
Well,
I like that question. Yeah, it makes you sweat a little bit.
I think our turnpikes in Oklahoma, one, it'd be nice if we get a little more placid feel on the H.E. Bailey.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of dangerous things to do in Oklahoma.
Right.
You go to the O'Keen rattlesnake hunt or the Mangum rattlesnake hunt. A little dangerous, but you can have some fun. You could, I guess, go noodling.
Mm-hmm.
Not too dangerous, but if you want a big old flathead to grab your forearm, that does it for you.
Yeah.
Thirdly, you could try to drink a cup of coffee on the H.E. Bailey.
Well,
there's a pothole or two.
Yep,
it's a little. It could be smoother, John.
Yes, it could.
Right? Yep. Currently. Not back in the day when it first laid.
No.
Currently. So here's my point.
Okay.
Any more room for turnpikes? Here's what I'd like to see first.
Right.
A smooth sailing H.E. Bailey.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that because of where I am. I'm talking about H.E. Bailey and Tahlequah.
Yeah.
Before we start to expand with any of our turnpikes, I think we should have a very fine-tuned audit.
Okay.
When's the goal to pay some of these off? Take some of these tolls, these little booths off the turnpike because it's paid for.
I really don't mind the booths because what I like, freshly mowed,
you said
repaired.
That, yeah. And when there's a problem, it gets repaired immediately.
Right. Yeah. Not next week.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. And some of the turnpike, you know this because of your history and your background. Many people don't, but the turnpike, Oklahoma Turnpike Authority, in addition to what they do with infrastructure and transportation, that is a great asset, a help to the Department of Public Safety.
Yes.
Some of the troopers go off the highways and they roll on to supervise and run traffic on the turnpike. And the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority
pays for it.
Pays for that,
that's
as you know, and that is a huge benefit to public safety in Oklahoma.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I like the idea. I've seen freshly mowed right of ways, paved streets, and something's broken, they fix it.
Yes, sir.
And the best part about it is taxpayers aren't paying that. users are.
Users, yeah, users.
Yeah, users. Obviously. Yeah.
And H.E. Bailey, thanks to H.E. Bailey, you get a ton of Texas traffic in this part of the state.
We do.
A ton. So it's nice to have Texans paying for some infrastructure in Oklahoma.
That is true, because starting at Wichita Falls and coming north,
right. Yeah,
they're paying for it.
And I
sure like that. That's okay. I'm tired of them saying, I had a sister that lived in Wichita Falls, and she drove up the turnpike all the time, and she said, you always keep it mowed and it looks so nice.
Yeah.
And Texas doesn't. Now, I didn't go through the derivatives explaining to her that the fees were paying for that, not right. The taxpayers of the state was.
And she was helping every time she came up.
And she's helping out.
She's doing her part.
I appreciated that very much. And so, but it is a nice entrance.
It is.
And what I like, people get off the airport, come to Chickasha to look at expanding or whatever. All they see is that good road.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, and the Oklahoma City and Chickasha, because of that turnpike and that road,
right?
The drive time is just—it's nothing.
No,
you don't even consider it a trip. And Chickasha is very special because it is a standalone community. It's the Fighting Chicks, and
right.
It's a sense of community. But it's so close to Oklahoma City, the convenience, Oklahoma City to Chickasha or Chickasha to Oklahoma City,
right.
Because of the road, as you said, it's pretty special.
Yeah, it is. We're very fortunate. Because now, a long time ago, I drove around western Oklahoma and thought, boy, I mean, no big four lanes, nothing. What makes a company want to move there? You know, what do they have to offer?
Well, it's a Northwest Oklahoma boy. I'll say the people.
Yeah. People are great people. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, but the infrastructure.
The infrastructure. You're talking about highways. You're talking about airports. You're talking about all those kinds of things. Why would they locate there? Why wouldn't they locate in a Chickasha around the big cities and drive 30 miles to get to the airport instead of 80 or 100 miles to get to the airport? And I kind of look at that way. You know, it's not doom and gloom. They're really fine people. But how do they grow? I mean, are they growing? Are they holding their own? Well, or are they declining slowly?
You have hit a nail on the head, just overall, generally speaking, about infrastructure. And again, you've been involved in this for a long time, but infrastructure, meaning roads and bridges.
Yes.
That is the one public policy, that I've said this many times, one public policy issue that touches everything else.
Yes.
Economic development, education, because you're not getting to school without a road or a bridge.
That's right.
Healthcare. You're not going to go see your doctor or go to the clinic or go to the emergency room or the hospital without a road or a bridge, and the ambulance will not come get you without a road or a bridge.
That's right.
You can't talk about another issue, I think, even public safety.
Right.
Because the law can't come help you without a road or bridge, without talking about infrastructure first. It's so important.
Right. Yeah, we're very fortunate here. Our hospital ran into some difficulties with the examiners. What do they call themselves, George?
Regulators is what I call them.
What?
Regulators.
Regulators. We voted 80%, 80-20, for a bond issue or sales tax issue to bring our hospital up to standards. 80-20. When do you see that?
I didn't realize that was the landslide. That's big.
Oh, it is. But what I'm saying is, it's the pride that's exhibited in small communities and the willingness to fight for what we've got and not let it get away. And I'm sure Oklahoma City in a bigger way may do the same thing, but that makes me proud to be part of Chickasha.
Well, I mentioned that earlier. It's a sense of community.
Yes.
You know, when you're born in Chickasha, and I know there might be some school options and opportunities, but you know you're going to be fighting Chick.
Right.
Right? You're born in Enid.
Right.
I was born in Enid. And I knew when I was a McKinley Cardinal at McKinley Grade School. You know what I knew?
What's that?
I knew I was going to be an Enid Plainsman.
Yeah.
Because I was in a community. I wasn't in a big metropolitan area. Like, well, if my parents move, like my friend's parents move, I could go from one school district to another. No, there's a sense of community, and that leads to community pride.
Yes.
And a fighting for a self-preservation.
That's right.
If you will. I already told you how special Chickasha is to my family in Grady County. And Highway 81, I'm just up north. Ain't it America?
Yeah, I understand that. Hey, I appreciate we're out of time, unfortunately.
Out of time. I was going to tell one more story about
tell your story.
Well, just quickly, I was a land man for several years.
Oh, yeah.
I was a land man, and I did a ton of work at the Grady County Courthouse.
Oh, yeah.
And as I passed it, coming to the station today, as I passed the Grady County Courthouse, and this, I'm talking 2006.
Yeah.
Just a decade.
Yeah.
You go in the basement of the Grady County Courthouse, and you get an RC Cola for 35 cents. Now, well, I don't know if you can still do that, but the 2006, Georgetown, 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many RC Colas I got in the basement at the Grady County Courthouse, but I spent a lot of money on those canned drinks, and I thought, I couldn't believe what I thought. It's not a dollar, it's not 50 cents, it's 35. Yeah. Oh, I love Chickasha.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still a busy place, even with the oil business slowing down, but not like it was.
Sure. Oh, you'd have to fight for books, elbow to elbow. It was tight in there.
They still do some of that. But more and more computer work's done as time goes by. It'd be nice when we can look it up and do that without having to go to the courthouse, but that's a long time off. George, are you going to cut me off or are we through?
We're done.
We're done. Okay.
Lieutenant
Governor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here, and it's our privilege and those kinds of things.
My honor. Great to be back.
Hey, George, he's honored to be on our show. How do you like that?
We'll even have him back.
Yeah, we'll let him come back sometime.
Yeah.
We appreciate
it. Is it going to be a two-year probation like the last time I was here?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, you know, we'll talk about shortening that to maybe 18 months.
Oh, great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you. Well, we always end the story by saying, if you're thinking about buying or selling a house, it always goes better for you since you're 21, Mosley Real Estate.